Welcome to the I Am Shiftable podcast, where each episode you begin to shift your state into your true essence. Every week, Reiki, sound, and meditation masters Lindy and Mars will help you make small shifts through meditation, sound healing, Reiki, yoga nidra, and other mindful modalities so that you can start, continue, or expand your meditative practice and ultimately transform your healing journey. Experience divine bliss and be able to affirm again and again, I am shiftable.
Hello, shifters. Welcome to episode number 11, where today we are going to be talking all about joy and whether or not you're sabotaging it. We've got five ways that we're going to be talking about. I'm your host, Mars.
I'm your host, Lindy.
Hey, Lindy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Mars?
Doing, you know, I am full of joy. The boys started school today here in Guatemala, and I am just exploding with joy. I'm so excited for them.
Oh, how sweet. But you did share with me some parents were crying. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, this is something that I've seen throughout the journey of parenthood with friends who've also sent their kids off to kindergarten in previous years. I don't know why that is. I'm so excited for them. This is such an opportunity. They're going to make friends. They're going to do all these cool things.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Swimming in the joy.
Let me get to hash it all out
this morning. Loving the joy. Exactly. Loving the peace and quiet here at the house.
There you go.
Most importantly,
and then there's
yes.
That.
Selfishly speaking. Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a balance.
There's always a simple balance. Yes. Well, before we dive into our topic today, we asked our listeners last week to write in some reviews. Let us know what you're thinking about the podcast. So I'm going to start out and read this beautiful review that we got from Kylie Ann. Kylie Ann, thank you for listening and thank you for your review. Kylie Ann says, "What a beautiful podcast. I listened to the first two episodes and I'm already so moved by this podcast. Meditation so often feels inaccessible or confusing or lonely. And these two smart and open-hearted women talking about all of the different ways you can meditate and the range of experiences we can have, it's such a gift. I was having a bit of a rough day today and really struggled to shake it until I did the guided meditation from episode one, and it so gently and powerfully helped me shift, a la the title, my energy and mood." I love that.
That's amazing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kylie Ann.
Thank you, Kylie.
We really appreciate your review, and we're so glad that you are shifting with us.
Yes, I love
the title. That's what it is all about. One little shift at a time. Changing the world, one meditation at a time. Right, Lindy?
Exactly.
Yes.
Absolutely, Mars.
Well, thank you. We encourage you. Please keep writing in. If you're not comfortable leaving a public review, send us an email at iamshiftable@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you and share any of your questions or experiences that you have on air.
Perfect.
Yes. So, Lindy, let's dive in. Five ways that you may be sabotaging joy, and then how to transcend. And we're going to go through each one of these topics. And Lindy, I was calling her our wise sage because she just has all of the ways to transcend. We love her for that.
Mars.
Love you for that. Yeah.
I love you for what you do.
My personal guru. Yeah. So, all right. First way, number one, sabotaging joy, because when we're experiencing it, we begin to worry if we're happy now, there must be something bad around the corner. And I have a friend that this happened to. She actually had to take some time off work. And I asked her what was going on, what she was experiencing. And she said, "Well, Mars, I just started thinking my life is so perfect right now. I have this great partner. I've got a great job. I've got a great place that, you know, we just bought this house that we love. And I started thinking, uh-oh, there must be something really terrible around the corner." And she sabotaged her joy and went into this almost like a nervous breakdown, had to take time off work, get on some medication, just because those thoughts in her head.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild that we do that to ourselves?
It really is. So damaging.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's so damaging, but it happens pretty often. I mean, those thoughts kind of creep in like, oh, wait a minute. You think you're happy now. You just wait. Because we all know that there's ebbs and flows in life. Life is a roller coaster.
Right.
but it doesn't always mean that there's something bad waiting around the corner.
Something lurking.
Bask in that joy. Something lurking.
Right.
Bask in it. Enjoy that, the happiness that you're in. So that's our first way that we want to share. Second way, we are experiencing bliss. And suddenly that lizard brain comes in, that moment where we start thinking about, okay, what's the worst case scenario that could happen right now? And how can I plan and prepare so that I can stay alive? And I had this. So we did a border run for our 90-day visa this past weekend, and we went to Mexico. And we were sitting on this beautiful beach, and my 2 and 4-year-old were playing so nicely together, and the baby was crawling around, and everybody was so happy. It was just me. Brandon had gone into town to get some pesos from an ATM. And I started thinking, my first thought was, wow, this is such a beautiful moment. Look how peaceful and happy everybody is. This is such a beautiful surrounding. And then all of a sudden I started thinking, okay, it's just me. What if there was a tsunami? What am I going to do? What's my escape route? Who am I going to grab first? Who can run through the sand?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that awful?
Wow.
So like, then I noticed my heart's beating fast. My hands were getting a little sweaty. So I took that beautiful moment of joy and I just tsunamied myself with those thoughts of how can I stay safe?
Mm.
So Lindy, what can I do in that situation? You were kind of coaching me through different ways that I can handle that. What's a good way to handle that type of scenario?
Well, you become aware of it, right? So as soon as you can become mm-hmm. aware of this crazy thoughts that you're having in the moment, almost trying to steal mm-hmm. your joy away, is just pausing for a second and going back to what are you really experiencing here? What joy are you experiencing with your boys? Watching them, experiencing them, and just stay there instead of allowing the mind to go all these crazy different ways. It has nothing to do with your current reality.
Right.
Right. In the present mm-hmm. moment of all things, if the mind is not involved, in the present moment, you are happy and joyful. It's our yes. minds that removes us from this joy.
Exactly. Oh, that evil mind.
Mm.
It's such a trickster sometimes. And that's something that meditation can help with, is that awareness and staying present and staying aware. So the mind, we have these built-in structures in the brain to keep us safe. Yes, but I wasn't in any danger there. There was no tsunami coming.
Right.
Everything was fine.
Thankfully.
So yes, meditation helps you recognize, wait a minute, pump the brakes. I don't want to go down that pathway right now. I'm going to stay present right here. And I brought myself back into their beautiful smiles and laughter. And then, you know, had to step in and become a mom for a minute because they were throwing sand at each other. But it was a beautiful moment.
Brought you right back into the present moment, didn't it?
Present moment. Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Brought me right back in there. Thank you, boys. beautiful. Thank you. Okay. So the third way that we may be sabotaging our joy is that we downplay it because we don't want others to feel bad that we are experiencing it. Like they aren't experiencing the joy. So we start downplaying it. We don't want to come off like we're bragging or boasting how joyful we are. So we quiet that joy Tony Robbins talks about living small because we don't want to make others feel bad. And so what happens is we don't end up experiencing the grand feeling to its greatest because we're muting it. We're throwing a wet blanket on it.
Right.
Number four is holding on to baggage that no longer serves us.
Mm-hmm.
I had this thought as I was on the beach. So we had to walk about 500 meters from the house to get to the actual water itself. And because we were in such a remote place in Mexico, we were on the most southwestern tip of Mexico in Playa Linda, right before you cross over the border into Guatemala. And because it's not a very touristy area, there's nobody that comes out and cleans the beach off. And if you all knew what the beach would look like, if you didn't have the workers out there cleaning it up, it's really sad. And I took some pictures that I'll share. Maybe I'll post those on our Facebook page. But so there's a lot of trash. There's a lot of trash that washes up from high tide in the middle of the night. Nobody comes out there to pick it up. So unfortunately, we had to walk through this trash. But it was a great lesson to talk about with my boys about how awful plastic really is, because everything there was just made of plastic. That was it. All plastic goods.
Oh, wow.
So we had to walk through this plastic, all of this trash, to get to our little piece of paradise on the other side of that. And I had to let it go. I had to let go that there was trash behind me. And it got me thinking, wait a minute, this is kind of like life. Like sometimes we have to go through a lot of trash to get to our joy. A lot of trashy situations, a lot of things that maybe we don't want to carry with us, but sometimes we do. So sometimes we might be sitting in this beautiful paradise, but our minds, again, those evil brains are going back and going, yeah, but I've got all this garbage behind me. I've got all these things that I've been through, and we're holding on to them instead of experiencing that beautiful paradise in the moment. Mm-hmm. So it was a great scenario. I was grateful for walking through that trash to have that experience. Mm. All right. So the final way that we want to talk about, number five, ways that we can sabotage our joy is not recognizing when it's here. So the universe is always going to give us what we're asking for, but it may not always show up in the way that we thought it was going to. So thinking about joy, let's say that we're asking for joy and we're expecting it to come by way of a promotion or more money so that you can get a nicer car or a bigger house or the things. Like we think that these things are going to be providing us joy, but we don't expect it maybe in a small moment in the car, like 5 minutes of everybody just laughing and having fun and seeing something beautiful out of the window, or waking up and having a little bit of silence over your cup of coffee in the morning. Right. Oh, the joy in that. Mm-hmm. So not taking a moment to recognize, oh, I'm experiencing joy right now in this small moment. We're sabotaging ourselves because your brain starts ticking and going, but my joy is going to come in that promotion. My joy is going to come in that bigger car.
Right.
I had this boss when I worked for the American Red Cross, John Mendelson. It was like, he was always sabotaging this quote. And I'm going to share it with you. It was by Thomas Edison. And he said, opportunity is missed by most people because it comes dressed in overalls looking like hard work. Mm-hmm. And he loved to say that. But it's true. You could take out opportunity and put joy in there. Joy is missed by most people because it shows up in those small moments that we least expect, that we haven't defined as joy. And we miss them because they're fleeting. They come so quickly and they leave us so quickly. So Take a moment to stay present. Define what joy feels like. I think we have to define the feeling, because if we're defining joy in the things, in the promotions, in the car, in the house, in the money, and all those things, then we're not going to know what it feels like. We're going to miss it because joy is quick. We had a lot of moments of joy yesterday, and I was very quick to say, oh, okay, this is what I want. I like this feeling. I love this feeling. Let's sit in this moment of joy right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And don't you feel like you can measure that too when you have a smile, like a permagrin on your face? You know, we're doing this podcast right now. Yes. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. I have this smile on my face. You are speaking with a smile on your face. You know, this is joy happening at the moment. Yes. We are happy in this present moment.
And we sure are.
I think when we talk to people or express things or whatever, even strangers in the grocery store, if you talk to them or, you know, have you tried this before? And you're speaking with a smile of joy because you're sharing a moment with a perfect stranger talking about something that doesn't really mean anything, but it's joyful because you're in the present moment. Nothing is haunting you from the past. Nothing is keeping you from enjoying the moment except just being present. You're just here.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're here. Oh, how beautiful. Thank you for this moment of joy.
Yes, Wendy. Thank you, Mars. This is what it's all about. It's stripping away all of these things that you mentioned a few times. You know, I hear words and I more importantly feel the energy of the words. You mentioned in this podcast, thank you so much for doing so, but you said that we have an evil mind. I'd like to think that we don't have that. And I know that you said that for a reason, because most people's thoughts keep them in this lack of understanding of keeping them from being joyful. So in fact, it can translate in being that. Right. So so it's really, really super important to know that everything is happening for you, not to you, right? Things are happening for you. And if you're able to allow yourself to lean into that a little bit and allow yourself to enjoy just what that feels like instead of happening to me, then we start to strip away from being this victim mode and becoming more happy in the present moment.
Right.
I know it sounds ridiculously simple, but we're going to introduce some mantra here in a moment. But It has everything to do with trying to release the mind from all this congestion. Mm-hmm. And a way to do it is by introducing mantras.
Right. Maybe we could say that we have a creative mind. While you were talking, I remembered this poster that I saw the other day. It was this drawing of two men sitting on a bus. They were in the exact same location. One of them was staring out of a window and he was looking at the side. I guess it was up against a mountain and it was just gray and kind of doom and gloom. And he had this kind of like really unhappy look on his face. And on the other side, the same bus, this guy's looking out of this other window and it's bright and sunny and he's taking pictures and he's got this big smile on his face. So they're in the same place, but they've created or they've chosen what they want to look at. So the mind is so creative that you have the choice of which way you want to look at, and you can easily shift that just through that awareness, through that recognition of, oh, wait a minute, I'm looking out of the wrong window here. I just need to turn my head. I'm going to shift my head to the left and see all of the beauty that is right here. It's been here the entire time. I'm just looking in the wrong direction.
I think I have this kind of metaphor that I use when I speak with people about when you're looking out of your house and you've always looked out of these certain windows in your house and you go to a different part of the house. When you look at a window, maybe you don't even realize that window is there. Maybe it's covered by a dresser or something. When you look out of that window, you have a whole nother viewpoint. You have a whole nother vantage point. Maybe the birds are singing differently on this one. Maybe you have some shade tree. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have sunlight going through there. So it's just that looking out of your inside with a little bit more of this pure heart, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, I do a lot with mantra and kirtan and Sanskrit and things like that. But Krishna Das, he talks about when you chanting mantras, each mantra that you chant is almost like cleaning the inside of this window. It's right now maybe dusty. Every time you chant, you're cleaning more and more and more and more. You're purifying your heart and your mind and your whole essence. So that's kind of the viewpoint that I get with what you're in regards to what you were doing.
So I never knew about mantras until our time in India together and some of the things that we experienced there. And Lindy, our beautiful musician, she knows, she is our wise sage again, all about those mantras and the music. And what's really cool with these mantras, it's not just the words themselves, it's the vibration that comes along with it. And what you'll notice if you close down your eyes and you get deep into your body, you'll notice that with these mantras, there's these vibrations that are happening and it's almost like it's shaking off the muck that's inside of you. The vibrations are chiseling away at all the mucky muck that you've built up inside of you. It's really cool to experience. If you think about it, not just as words and the meaning of the words, but the actual vibrational tones that are happening within you. It's really neat.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that Lindy's going to be sharing this with our listeners today. Lindy, you want to tell us a little bit about the mantra that you'll be introducing and why we chose this one?
Yes, actually. Thank you for that, Mars. I chose Om. And I will do it for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you're just simply chanting three syllables. And we'll also have this written out so they can see exactly what it is and how to do it. Okay, so, but it's A-U-M as when you are chanting Om. The A is you drop your jaw, ah. And then the U is pronounced ooh, double O's. And then the M, you simply bring your lips together. But nothing is forced here. Everything is nice and relaxed. Your jaw is relaxed, your neck is relaxed, and you relax into the sound. It doesn't have to be very loud. It can be very soft. But the key is to feel the vibration inside your body. So as you chant the first letter, ah, you're feeling the vibration go all the way down into the solar plexus and into the belly. The ooh comes up to the throat chakra. You'll feel the vibration there. And then the kind of transcends a little bit higher and higher. So Om, they say, is the sound that the universe makes. And so it just kind of connects us to the universe, connects us to kind of home. I like to think of Om as being home. It's a perfect mantra to begin with because it's super easy. And it's probably the most highly or widely used mantras because of the effects of connecting you to the rest of the universe.
Yes. And I love that you walked our listeners through the actual physical movement of the jaw, because Om has been confused across the community of seekers, because some people just think it's Om, and that oh, and the mm. So explaining that it's actually a three-part syllable chant and how to move the jaw, I think is really going to help people get the most out of this mantra.
Yes. Yes. Make it really easy. Easy for yourself, just to ease into the process and just allow yourself to feel. And there's another visual that comes along with that. So maybe you can, as you're saying, ah, you're visualizing this energy coming from above you, the divine source, coming into your third eye point and between your two eyebrows. And your ooh is going in through your head and going straight up back to divine to connect with the source of all, right? And you keep on doing this. The mind, if you give the mind a few things to do, you're not going to have any thoughts in your meditation. Okay.
And yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it starts to train the mind just to be present in the moment. And then eventually what happens when you chant is things just start to fall away. You realize that you're no longer bothered by X, Y, and Z. Just one day you're like, oh, this person totally just blew up in front of me and I'm detached from their episode. That's theirs. And I'm here with mine and I have two choices. To react, to respond, and I'm choosing to respond in silence and just kind of observe and see what I can do to help them. So things just to begin to shift and fall away. It's the most beautiful, amazing transformation that we can do for ourselves, and it's inside of each of us. Now, I know some of you may feel that someone has told you maybe in the past that you can't sing, please stop singing, don't sing in a shower, don't. This has nothing to do with being a singer, has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with connecting with your inner voice. Because by someone saying that to you in the past, it kind of closes your throat chakra, your communication in this world. So by chanting and by doing the OM and the other exercises that we're going to unfold here in the podcast series, you're just allowing yourself to be a better communicator because it's kind of shaking all those untruths away. It's interesting, but and nothing to do about singing. You're just simply making the sound inside your body, feeling the vibration and healing from within.
Yes. Yeah. And all of the energy medicine work that I've gotten done, I grew up in a house with two brothers and I wanted to be an opera singer. And so most of my life living with them, everybody was shut up. We don't want to hear you singing. Shut up. So I am one of those that fell into that. And so I suffered with, or I had the opportunity to experience many throat infections, tonsillitis, things like that. I had my tonsils removed when I was 16 years old, a lot of stuff around the throat. Mm-hmm. And so when I started getting energy work done, several practitioners would say, you've got some stuff going on, you've got a lot of blocks here in your throat chakra. So chanting mantras actually helped open that up. The last time I had energy work done, there was nothing there. And I said, well, how was the throat? And they're like, it's great. And it was almost like this, woohoo, I did it. So I'll invite you. What you might find is that this could be a confidence thing too, that you might start chanting this OM quietly because you don't feel confident enough that you're doing it right. So try playing with different volume levels too. Maybe do it as loud as you possibly can. Close down your eyes and see what that feels like inside because you'll feel that the different volume levels too will create different vibrations inside of you. So try playing with that too to see what feels good as you start shaking some of this stuff away.
Right. Good point. Thank you for that, Mars.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's it. So where are you sabotaging? We shared five ways that you may be doing it. Maybe you checked all of the boxes and you're like, uh-oh, my creative mind has caused me to sabotage my joy in all of the ways. I'm raising my hand because I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm human. I get to experience all of these blocks too and transcend them. So thank you, Lindy, for creating this OM meditation for us today so that we can experience transcending each of these blocks that we've created ourselves.
You are so welcome. Thank you for you, Mars.
Enjoy the shift, my loves, into more joy. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Keep shifting.
Keep shifting.
Thank you.
chose to exchange your energy during our time together today. If you would like to take your practice deeper with guidance on things like unifying your breath, mastering meditative postures, in a variety of meditations, you can become a Patreon member by signing up at patreon.com/IAmShiftable. That's patreon.com/IAmShiftable. Until next week, enjoy every shift, my love.